Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning there, folks. Got a hot one for you today. Thanks for jumping in here, joining with us. We got a lot going on, man. A lot going on. And we've got Ted Weiland coming up with us here in a sec. But I want to, and so folks, this is the war that we're already at war. We're just not in it. All right? We're just not in this war yet. Now, along those lines, again, I'll provide you more information, folks. We're going to get you more information about what's going on. But we have a guest with us today that's really coming from a kind of different perspective. And as you folks know, when you come and you join us here at Coach Dave Live, we throw out on the table that there are no sacred cows here at Coach Dave Live. There aren't any. You know that, right? We take on all of those religious traditions, try to dig into whether they're true or whether they're not true. And it's been, always been a free flow of ideas. But Ted Weiland Ted's been a guy who's been out there laboring for a long time, and Ted is going to bring to us today the proposition that the Constitution is the problem. The United States, you know, everybody says, thank God we have the Bible and the U.S. Constitution. But Ted's been spending a career saying, no. The Constitution is the problem. So friends, I want you to listen and again, openly discuss here the presentation that Ted's going to make before us and why we're paddling upstream because the Constitution has become one of the greatest obstacles of all. Ted, I appreciate you getting up early with us. I appreciate you putting up with our administrative stuff here at the beginning of the show. Brother, come on in here and knock us out with what you have to present. By the way, we have several guys in here who are on the other side, Ted. They've studied it as well. And so this will be a good, lively back and forth. Come on in, Ted. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, Coach. Hey, first of all, I really appreciate you and your work and what you're doing and your energy and your enthusiasm and always out there on the front line. And appreciate you allowing me to do this because obviously just even with what you just presented, this is a very, very controversial subject. And you used it in a different fashion, but in a lot of ways, I'm the one that's swimming upstream. But that's okay because as the saying goes, you know, any dead fish can flow with the current. So
that's right.
We need to be flowing up. We need to be swimming upstream anyway, one regard or another.
Ted,
I always say
even the dead fish float downstream, don't they?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So
we're not afraid of the truth here, Ted. We're not afraid of the truth here. All right.
Well, I really appreciate this opportunity. And, again, we're looking at whether is the Constitution biblically compatible. In fact, I just had a debate that's on our website with some of you, I'm sure, are familiar with constitutional attorney Brent Winters. Last September, we had a three-hour debate, and that's available on our website as well.
Throw his website up there, Spencer, if you can. Throw his website up. MissionToIsrael.org. Is that it, Ted? That's what
let's do the other one. It's okay. Bible Versus, and that's spelled out, V-E-R-S-U-S, Bible Versus Constitution.org. And let me just say at the beginning here, if any of your listeners would like to go to the right-hand column, they'll see that there's there's the debate near the top. And then right underneath that, there's a survey, a 10-question survey regarding whether the Constitution is biblical or not. And if they'll take that survey, I've written a book, the entire book is 575 pages where I've examined the Constitution by the Bible. In fact, every article and every amendment, I've devoted a chapter to examining, examining the Constitution by the Bible, every article and every amendment. But if they'll go to the survey and take the 10-question survey, they'll get free, a complimentary copy of the 85-page primer. 575 pages is a little bit much for a lot of people, but so we've reduced it down to a primer of 85 pages. They'll get a free copy of that along with some other goodies that I'll include if they'll take the survey.
So Ted, let's stop here a second. You're a believer, sure. Right, Ted?
I'm sorry?
You're a believer.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I'm in fact a pastor.
You're not some atheist coming in the side door trying to destroy and get Christianity out of the Constitution, right, brother?
No, absolutely not. I appreciate you asking that question and clarifying that, because it's usually the opposite side that's kind of taken the position that I am, but not for the obviously the same reasons. But no, I'm a pastor that's very concerned about America, about our posterity, and I believe that a lot of our people have been hoodwinked. I think what's happened is that we as Christians have so much wanted those guys, those founding, founding fathers or constitutional framers back in the late 18th century to be our guys, and that document to be our document, that we've just simply failed to examine the document by anything more than cherry-picked quotations from those guys. And the fact is, if you don't cherry pick them, you'll discover that they are not the majority of them. Benjamin Franklin maybe was the one exception at one time in his life, but they are not deists in the purest sense of the word. But they're also not biblical Christians in the biblical sense of the word. And the proof is in the pudding. It's in the Constitution.
But Ted, I'm always playing the devil's advocate. They could have created a quasi-Christian document without being real Christians. They could have done that, though, couldn't they have?
Well, I think that would have been pretty tough.
My point being, just my own personal Christian views. You know, hey, I'm cutting edge of some of the stuff I believe. Ted, you're cutting edge of some of the stuff you believe. But if you and I were to sit down and try to come together and put together a Christian document, we probably could put one together. Whether or not it was Christian is something else. That's the point I'm making, Tim.
Well, and as much as important as it would be to put one together that's Christian, it's also important to put one together that's biblical. Yes, and there's only one, I think we'd all agree with this. I hope we'd all agree with this, and that there's only one moral standard by which everything has to be, should be, ethically evaluated, and that's by our God's morality as defined or reflected in his Ten Commandments, statutes, and judgments. And when that document is actually examined by that rather than quotations of these guys, it is unquestionable that there's hardly an article or amendment that's not antithetical, if not seditious, to our God.
Okay, so Ted,
his morality and sovereignty.
Here's what I want to do, Ted. I want to move away from the Christianity of the founders to why this isn't, why the document doesn't line up with Christianity.
Okay. As I see it, the sins of the founding fathers, those of the 18th century, not the early 17th century, who are the true founding fathers. In fact, if we want to go to the Christian biblical heritage of this country, we need to go back to the early 1600s. And their constitutions of, by, and for God established expressly upon his law. That's where our biblical roots are.
Interesting, Ted. Listen, I've got a class of students here, right? So America didn't begin in 1776 with the signing of the Declaration of Independence. We were here before that. And so you're saying, let's go back and look at the individual, how these colonies set themselves up.
Right. Especially if you go to New Haven, Connecticut's constitution, it is just incredible. It is absolutely expressly based upon the laws of God. And I'm glad you brought up this last point, because we confuse America and the United States of America as if they're the same thing. They are anything but the same thing. America, like he said, was in existence long before the United States of America. America was established upon governments of, by, and for God, at least some of America, based upon his law, whereas the United States of America, also known as the Constitutional Republic, was formed with, and we don't even think about the term, but was formed to as a government of, by, and for the people, based upon not God's law. God's law is not referenced in his law. In fact, it's a godless, Christless, a biblically lawless document to begin with, without even looking at the details of each of the articles and amendments and where they conflict with God's law. But the only possible thing that can be used to try to make that Constitution biblical is the dating of the document in Article 7. In the year of our Lord. And were they actually trying to say this makes it a biblical document? Well, much of what they even wrote themselves would prove that otherwise, but they never claimed that's what made it biblical. And what a shallow thing to say this is the proof in the year of our Lord that this was a biblical document, when we go through the document and we can find all kinds of things in conflict with God's morality and his law. Their sins were twofold. They were sins of commission and sins of omission. Commission in that there's hardly an article or amendment that's not seditious or antithetical to God's morality and sovereignty. But by their sins of omission alone, by not establishing this nation from the 17th century on upon the sovereignty of God over this nation and upon his laws as the foundational document or foundational ethical standard for the whole nation. Okay, so that alone, we have been sent to the precipice of moral depravity and destruction. Folks, and I know you want to comment here, and I will let you, but I'd like to give you some examples.
Let me say one thing, and I'm going to let you do it, Ted. Folks, listen now. Remember that we're in the mess we're in, partially we're in the mess we're in, because the First Amendment of the Constitution says, Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And so what they've done, see, because this document doesn't mention the name of Jesus, Jesus isn't in the document, it's given the courts the ability to overstep and say, hey, this is a secular document. This doesn't have anything to do with Christianity. You have a right to practice your own religion, but that doesn't affect the entire... Am I on the right page there, Ted?
Are you what?
Am I on the right page?
Yeah, absolutely. And that would be one of my examples. You know, all of us, I'm sure listening here, people who are at least consider themselves conservative Christians and patriots are concerned with, for example, the mosques that are being built across this country, devoted to a God other than Yahweh, the God of the Bible, and from which they can proselyte our posterity to their false God, Allah. I mean, truly, we should be concerned about with what's happening there. And it's not to the point to where Europe is, but we're headed to the way Europe is. And this could very, very one day become a Muslim nation if we don't deal with it. Let me ask this question.
It's a secular nation, right? Secular humanism, that's a religion.
And that's involved, that's allowed as well. But let's just talk about the religion of Islam and its allowance here in America and the building of these mosques. Let me ask two questions. One, are the mosques here in America today because of the first commandment, thou shalt have no other God than Yahweh or God, God of the Bible? Yeah. Is that why they're here? Or are they here because of the First Amendment? And what it enabled as far as national polytheism across this nation. You go back to the early 1600s when this nation was built upon God's law, beginning with, foundational with the first commandment and its statutes and its judgment, there were no mosques in America. Those mosques have come to be in America along with other temples and synagogues devoted to other gods because of the First Amendment. Nobody can argue with that.
In fact, Catholics weren't even allowed here originally, were they, Ted?
That's right. Now, that doesn't mean that some of the founding fathers, if not all of them, were opposed to Islam. But I'm talking about just from the omission of not establishing this nation upon God's sovereignty and the first commandment as the foundational document or foundational ethical standard for this nation. That's why we have mosques in this country today that we're all concerned about. And so you can just go down the list of every national problem we have in America today, and every one of them goes back to the fact of just the omission of those of the founding fathers, not even talking about the commission of their seed.
They didn't mention the name of Jesus. Christianity mentioned nowhere in the First Amendment. Now, Ted, hang on, because I want to, I'm trying to paint a picture for everybody here, okay? Bear with me, okay?
Yeah.
So, folks, the idea, people will say, well, it mentions it in the Declaration, our Creator. Well, you got to do some gymnastics to find out who our Creator is, why they didn't mention the name of Jesus. They didn't mention the name of Jesus. And then to go down and to understand that this document, the U.S. Constitution, was a document, it was designed for the power to be in the states. And people would say, well, they didn't mention Jesus and Christianity in the First Amendment because the real power was vested in the states. And the state constitutions were able to mention the name of Jesus, yada, yada, yada. How would you respond to that, Ted?
Let me first respond to the Declaration, and it's claim that of Creator and God. Let's not forget who the principal architect of the Declaration was, and it was Antichrist Thomas Jefferson. And Thomas and Jefferson, he was an Antichrist based on 2 John 7 through 11. And his God was, it was a, like you said, Coach, it was a generic God. There's no specification of what God that is. And of course, that falls in line perfectly with where Thomas Jefferson was on Christ.
Yeah, but Ted, people say, listen, everybody knows they were talking about Jesus. This was a Christian nation. Everybody knows it.
Well, it had been a Christian nation, or at least a Christian and biblical nation back in the early 1600s. By the time we get to the late 1700s, those men had become so influenced by Enlightenment and Masonic influence that had all changed by that point in time. And that's why we have a document. If you want to figure out why we've got the document we have, that's totally unlike what we have in the early 1600s, that is, nobody can question the biblical establishment of, for example, the New Haven, Connecticut document. It's one of the best. I would encourage your listeners, your watchers, to go Google that Constitution, and you'll see dramatically different from what we have in the United States Constitution, this secular humanist Constitution. What we basically have is Judges 21:25, every man doing that which was right in his own eyes. Now, it's much worse today, but what we're experiencing today is the whirlwind effect of Hosea chapter 8, verses 1 and verse 7, because they rejected the law of God, because they did not establish this nation upon the law of God. That was the wind. They sowed the wind in 1787, and we're now reaping the whirlwind in multiple different ways. We're seeing the chickens come home to roost today based on what happened in 1787. Now, it's taken a long time to get to the precipice like we are. God is merciful. You know, a lot of people's talking about, let's make America great again. Well, first of all, Trump can't do that. The only one who can make America great again is God, and he will only do it for the same reason he did it in the first place, and it wasn't based on the 1700s Constitution. It was based on the 1600 Constitutions and his promises in Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28 says that he will bless a nation when they follow him, make him their sovereign and his laws supreme, and thus America was once great, blessed by God because of those early men who devoted themselves to God as America's sovereign and his laws as a standard for society. That all changed in the late 1700s. And we became a nation that was then going to fulfill the latter part of Deuteronomy 28 and the curses.
Okay, let me jump in here, Ted, because I know our audience really well, and I just feel. It's like when you begin to question somebody's religion, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
So I can feel them saying, oh, who is this guy? Who is this guy? And Ted, all you're saying to us is, because of the way the Constitution was set up, these problems that we now have were inevitable.
That's right.
We didn't declare Jesus as the King of all kings. We didn't declare it in the document. And people will say, they left it open for the states to be able to do that. Well, whether that's neither here nor there, we are reaping the whirlwind of not specifically declaring this to be a Christian nation. Yes or no, Ted?
Absolutely. And let's go down to the 10th Amendment and the claim that, you know, we've got to get sovereignty back to the states. Well, when did God ever give up his sovereignty to the states or the federal government to begin with? Part of the whirlwind that we're reaping today is that all of the states have followed in the footsteps of the federal government.
In other words, the states didn't push back against the feds. Of course, that's what the Civil War was all about, some will say, right?
But they did in some regards, but they finally all folded. And they've all removed the Christian tests that were in the original 13 states, just like the federal government did in Article 9.
And the federal government threw the Ten Commandments out of Judge Roy Moore's office back in 2003, right, folks? Come on. Hey, folks, don't be mad at Ted. Let's think through this thing, okay? Because if there has to be a reformation in America, will this non-Jesus Christ reference Constitution carry the day for us? If we have to have a restructuring in America, will we learn the lesson and say, if we're going to be a Christian nation, we need to put his name at the very beginning of it? Am I on the right path, Ted?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know this is a tough sell because we have been propagandized for 233 or 4 years now on this. You know, idols die hard, and I don't want to offend anyone, but let's think about idolatry. Idolatry is not so much about statues as it is statutes with a T, such as what one considers, promotes, or swears to as the supreme law of the land.
Uh-huh. Boy, oh boy.
And so idols die hard. You go to Acts chapter 19, and they cried out for 2 solid hours. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. I mean, imagine that, 2 solid hours of that. But we've been crying out here in America, ironically led by people who are claiming to be Christians, servants, subjects of the King of Kings. And we've been crying out for over 230 years. Great is the Constitution of America's. Great is the Constitution of the Americans. I mean, idols die hard. This thing ain't going away quickly. So that's why I would encourage people to go to our there's nothing to lose because I'm going to pay for everything. Postage, I'm going to send you the books, some CDs to listen to regarding this subject. Go to our 10-question Constitution survey. Fill that out, and I will get a 85-page primer of the big book to you. I've written over 20, I think it's over 24 books now, books and booklets. Everything except for 1 or 2 of those can be found online on our online book and article page. Everything, even the 575 page there is there free. You can download it right from there. I'll send you one free for the book itself if you want it. I am not into building my kingdom. My empire. I am in building the kingdom of God. And,
all right.
If we can't afford a donation, that's fine with me. I'll send this stuff to you.
Ted, put your armor on. We've got some folks who want to talk to you. Jack, come
sure,
on
you
in.
Bet.
Jack, then Alan, then Rochelle. Go ahead, Jack.
Okay. There's all kinds of neat stuff here. I agree with a lot of what he just said. One of the things we know, there are many deficiencies in the federal constitution, which is why some of the states had better constitutions after they were brought in, other than the 13 original states. One of the misconceptions, and we let this camel under the tent when we accept Islam as a religion and let it fall under the First Amendment, because it's not a religion. 83% of all Islamic writings our military. And so
it's a government. It's a government. That's right. For former government. That's right.
As military, right. So they avoided it. Now we've let this stupid camel in under the tent when we should have pounded the snot out of it originally.
So folks, listen now. Everybody, hang on a second, Ted. Folks, take a deep breath. We're talking about if 10 years from now, whatever, we have to redo the Constitution. We're in a tremendous upheaval right now. And Ted is making the argument, had we done it right in the first place, we wouldn't be in this mess today. Right, Ted? Go ahead, then Alan.
Absolutely. Well, I would say, I've often heard that argument about that Islam is not a religion. I think they would argue that, and I would too. Quite frankly, I think they are very much a religion who just had taken their religion much more seriously than today's Christianity. You know, in fact, what was, you go back to the early 1600s, what we had then was Christendom. It wasn't Christianity, it was Christendom. And regrettably, that has tragically devolved into what today is merely four-walled stained glass, putrefying with a P-E-W at the beginning, Christianity. Mm. God intends, you know, they're dominionizers. They've taken their religion serious and they're dominionizing.
Amen.
And that's what God intends us to be, Christendom, not Christianity.
Well, I can't argue with you so far. Come on in, Alan, then Rochelle. Let's do quickly. I got a lot of you want to talk to Ted.
So, Coach, I guess when we walk in the old Senate chamber up there in Capitol Hill and we see Zeus, Jupiter, whatever you want to call him, above George's head, everything Ted's saying falls in line with that painting and that painting from 1865 under the Capitol Rotunda. Seems like everything he's saying is in that painting right there.
Hey, Spencer, can you pull up pictures of the Capitol Rotunda? See if you can do that real quick. Do you understand what he's saying, Ted? When you walk into the Capitol Rotunda, you look up, there's no Jesus up there. There's Zeus. Right? Go ahead.
Well, the same thing with the Supreme Court, over the Supreme Court, and they do. They do. In the middle is the Ten Commandments with Moses, but they've got all of these other gods as well that they're also recognizing. Now, where do you think a Supreme Court that recognizes all of these other gods right above their on the top of their building? Where do you think they're going to lead us? You know, one of the worst things that happened was Article 6 Christian test ban, by which, and this is the most important part of this, by which mandatory biblical qualifications for civil leaders were lost, were sent packing. No chance. So what do we have today? That's another example of the omission of the consequences of the omission of the constitutional framers. Think about that. Had we retained mandatory biblical qualifications for civil leaders, no one would have ever heard of Obama, Clinton, the Pelosi, the Gingriches, or any of the others on the crocodiles on both sides of the imaginary aisle in the swamp.
Folks, this is hard to swallow. This is hard to swallow, folks. Think about as we move forward from here. Did we make a mistake? Should we have named Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in our Constitution? Can two walk together lest they agree? Come in, Rochelle, and then Silver.
Good morning, team. Thank you, Ted, for coming on. Oh, I am so excited. I am fully on board with this. Yahweh told the Israelites not to mingle with the other people because he knew it would corrupt them and lead them straight into Romans 1. And if we don't have a foundation that lines up with the teachings of Jesus, I don't care where you are, we will end up crazy and insane like we are right now.
So Rochelle, because there is no God in Israel, there's no God in our government, the Supreme Court, because they have no foundation, can declare that an unborn human being doesn't have the right to live. We know that's ridiculous, but Ted is making the point. They're making that decision because we're a secular nation in our documents. I'm not speaking for you, Ted, but was that close?
No. Oh, absolutely. We would have never, another consequence of the omission of not establishing this nation upon Yahweh's sovereignty, Christ as Lord and King of the remnant, and his laws as the standard for society and government. You know, if they have instead established it on God's law, for example, beginning with Exodus, or not beginning with, but for example, with Exodus 20:13, thou shalt not murder, with Exodus 21 through 23, which removes any or shows the violation or the murder of infants in the womb, and Deuteronomy 27, 25, just as three examples. Had they established government with that as a part of it, no one would have ever heard of Roe versus Wade. There would be no Planned Parenthood in America, and millions of infants slaughtered in their mother's womb would have lived to see the light of the day.
Wow, this is
good. If we're promoting the Constitution, we're complicit in all of that.
Folks, this is hard to hear. This is hard to hear, folks. This is hard to hear. If we had a Christian Constitution, men would not be marrying men. Come on in, Silver.
Absolutely.
Oh, boy. The nation can never be restored as Christ is not welcome. Either it needs to be destroyed and rebuilt by Christians, or just destroyed by Christ. There's going to be a lot of death in order to get to that point.
Amen, buddy.
How do we maintain scripture in government?
How do we get there, Ted?
You know, we're living at one of the most exciting times in America's history and the history of mankind, as far as I'm concerned. People should not be discouraged with what's going on around us. We're on one of the most exciting paradigm shifts. Now, we're right at the bottom of this thing and barely moved past bottom, but we are watching. You know, you talk about the destruction, what needs to happen with the destruction of what's going on. Listen, we're watching. God's organizing this. He's orchestrating it, but we're watching the enemy destroy themselves. I mean, I wake up every morning, I'm sure you guys have for the last 5-10 years, and you think that, especially even the last 2 years, I wake up every morning, I think they can't get any more stupid. Yeah. And then I wake up the next morning.
Ted,
they're destroying. And God says that's exactly what he would do to them. He would make them stupid.
Our government is totally secular, totally anti-Christian. And Ted Weiland is saying that's happened. Not that he doesn't love the Constitution, but the Constitution as it was written was flawed because Christianity wasn't at the heart of it. Come on in, Dale, and then Larry.
Can I comment on that first?
Sure, sure.
You've represented me very well until this last statement.
Uh-oh, uh-oh.
You said, not that Ted doesn't love the Constitution. I do not love it. I'm telling people it is the worst thing that ever happened to America. That's how far we've got to go with this.
Okay.
And we have got to understand that America and the United States of America are not the same thing. 1600 America, built upon God's law, was sacrificed on the altar of the United States of America and their secular government. And we are now seeing that come to fruition here in America today.
Hey, Ted, I think you got more friends in here than you would have ever thought, right?
You guys have surprised me.
No, we're clear thinkers here.
I love you guys.
Come on in, Larry and Glenn.
No, it's me first, bro.
I'm sorry, Dale. Go ahead, buddy.
Listen, brother, think about it. The word sin means to miss the mark. And so if you go all the way back to the 1600s and you think about that, once you miss that mark, that arrow continues in a trajectory. And as it goes further and further down, look where we're at, how far off we are from the target now. Now, brother, when he talked about idols, because I'm always telling the street preachers out there, quit saying you have the First Amendment of the Constitution to preach your Bible. It has nothing to do with that. What you're doing is you're putting power and trust in that document, the scripture. I says, you don't have a constitutional, forget that. It's a biblical mandate why you are out preaching, and everything that we do should be based on the biblical mandates. This thing about Tony, Amen. That's why I never shut down my church. I don't care what they think. I don't care what they say. They don't have that authority to tell me otherwise.
Yeah, because listen, folks, but you get folks, you better understand this. If there is no God at the top of the Constitution, if Jesus Christ, if Yahweh is not at the top of the Constitution, then your rights do in fact come from government. Whether we want to admit it or not, that is in fact the truth. Now we can scream all we want to that the First Amendment gives us the right to a free exercise of our faith. We can do that all we want to, but if the Supreme Court believes they are the highest authority and that God is not above them, then we are protesting in vain, even though we are correct. And so what we have is a bunch of judges who are now enforcing, interpreting the law from a secular perspective. There is no God, and the government therefore determines right and wrong. Am I okay on that one, Ted?
Yeah, you bet. And let me piggyback on the arrow illustration of your last responder. I cited this earlier, but let me just quote to you Hosea 8, 1 and 7 together, because this is the biblical foundation for that arrow illustration, where it says, because they, and I've left some of this out, but just to put it all together in a succinct fashion, it says, because they have trespassed against my law. That's verse 1 of Hosea 8. Jump down to verse 7. It then says, they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. Today's America is reaping the inevitable, ever intensifying whirlwind resulting from the wind sown by the constitutional framers and fanned by today's hoodwinked Christians and patriots who have been brainwashed into believing that today's whirlwind can be dissipated by appealing to the wind responsible for spawning the whirlwind. That's how far removed we are from this. And what's really tragic is that Christians have been hoodwinked into being the principal, primary encouragers, I can't come up with the right word, for the promoters of the whirlwind.
So that was created by the wind. Our friend down in Louisiana, Tony Spell, he is going to go to Caesar to see whether or not he has the right to open his church. Folks, isn't that really what's going on? Isn't he going to go appeal to Caesar and have Caesar say, okay, yeah, God is above us. Yeah, okay. Isn't that really where we are?
Part of the problem is that we've misunderstood Christ's statement about render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. It's been turned on its head from what Christ is really saying. Basically, it's the same as what Elijah told the Israelites on Mount Carmel with him. He said, why halt you between two opinions if
God is God, serve him, right? Serve him.
That's right. And it was the same thing. He was saying, if Caesar's your God, if Caesar's your king, then give him his due. But if God is your king, then give him your due. So they turned that and said, oh, that's the reason now we've got to submit to government, is because render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. They turned that complete statement on its head. They've done the same with Romans 13. We should have a conversation about Romans 13, because even these Christians on the right side of Romans 13 still don't have it right. Romans 13 has nothing to do with secular government whatsoever. It's our commission for dominion. And I've written a book. It's called the Romans 13 template for biblical dominion. That's our commission for taking biblical control of
dominion. Okay, so we need a reformation. Let me get some of these folks in here. They'll never watch again.
Before you jump, I want to go back into Tony Spell's case. Tony didn't bring this to the federal court. Tony never opened a church. Tony's been arrested over 30 times. Tony says, I'm not going there. I'm going to tell you something. There is a biblical picture happened here. What happened to Paul? Paul ended up becoming underneath what? House arrest. Where? In Rome. What's happened to Tony Spell today? He's still under house arrest to who? Rome. So guess what? They're bringing him before King Agrippa. Brother, that's what's happening here. That's why you're saying, man, this is bigger than what we're thinking. I'm connecting some dots. Tony Spell never brought this case. Tony Spell said, I'm not shutting down my church. It's got nothing to do with your constitutional law. I got a biblical mandate here. So now we...
Amen. Wow. Larry, come on in. Let me run through these. Come on in, Larry, then Glenn. Go, Larry.
Yeah, you know, there's a real big, little bitty word in everything that you've been saying, Ted, and that word is if. Now, when you look at the word if you're talking about if something that has already happened in the past, if it didn't happen that way, things would be different. Hey, that's true. Nobody can deny that. But when you're looking at the word if, you got to look to the future. You got to say what would happen if we could make this change or that change or something. We cannot live focusing on what was done wrong in the past beyond the point of understanding that if that's true, then we need to go back.
We need to make it right.
We can't spend all of our time demonizing the Constitution, because I tell you right now, that Constitution, as bad as it is, in somebody's, you know, some people's opinion, bad being not totally Christian and biblical, but that Constitution is still our best earthly vehicle to change itself to get things back better.
What do you think,
Ted? You know, let me comment on that. And I appreciate your bringing that up for a couple of reasons. But one is, yeah, we do need to focus in on what's taking place because of the idol it's become in our nation. And until Gideon tore down his father's idol, he was never going to be used by God to bring the nation back to God. We've got to do the same. We've got a national idol here that has to be torn down, and it is entrenched in the hearts and minds of our people, and particularly those who claim to be Christians today. We've got to go back. We've got to just keep chipping away at this thing. But at the same time, Larry, we also need to be looking to the whole point of doing that is to get us so that we can get beyond this idol and start doing things right. And you'll find on my website, also on our online book page, as well as right there on in the right-hand side column, that I've also put together a book called A Biblical Constitution, A Scriptural Replacement for Secular Government. Wherein I've taken the preamble and the first three articles of the Constitution and redid them in a biblical fashion. And that's not to say that it can't be improved upon and that we don't need to expand upon it, but that's looking forward to the future. I wrote that for two and three and four generations down the road. Quite frankly, with where things are at today, this thing is sped up so much, it may yet be for our generation that we are able at some point, because of God's judgment upon this nation, to start implementing a godly constitution as well. So yeah, we don't need to just focus on the past. We need to focus on the future as well. That's why I wrote that book. Thank you for putting it up there. And we've got an idol that's got to be torn down, just folks, like Gideon's father's idol.
Folks, now listen to me. Some of you still nervous out there. Listen, here's the point. We don't know what's going to happen to America in the next 10 years. We don't have any idea. And if 10 years from now, everything kind of falls apart and somehow, some way, through some form of balkanization or whatever would happen, and men and women decide that they're going to reconstitute whatever it would be, whether you would call it America, whatever it would be, whatever's left standing after this whole mess is over, Ted is saying, please don't build upon this old foundation. Don't build upon this old foundation was wrong. And let's learn from the fact that the secularists grabbed this thing and ran with it. Let's be more specific when we set up this new government. I don't have to speak for Ted. I think that's what he's warning us against. Come on in, Glenn.
You got it.
Come on in, Glenn.
Yeah, thank you, Coach. Thank you, Coach and Ted, for bringing this into focus today. Ted, I have a question, but just let me preface. You know, it looks like the Mayflower Compact, when I read it, was the pattern that was established. And I think what you've alluded to was that this was carried over into some of the colonies, for example, Connecticut. But by the time we get to the Civil War and then Reconstruction, now we had centralized government to the point where we're at today, where states are being funded by the federal government to carry on the mask mandate. So, Ted, where did we go wrong? Where did we go wrong, and when did we go wrong?
Well, where we go wrong is we're humans, and we, there as things go on, I don't know why we keep going through the same cycle, but we want to do like Judges 21:25. We just all have a tendency to do things according to our own will. So, where exactly, I can tell you, one of the things that comes up about the 1600 constitutions, they say, yeah, sure, you want to go back there, let's go back to the Salem witch trials. What they don't understand when they bring up the Salem witch trials is that they're making my argument. That only proves what a small deviation from God's law can, where it can lead. And what they also don't point out is two Puritan ministers finally put the end to him. But that was a deviation. That was the result of a deviation from God's judicial protocol on how to handle cases where somebody's been accused of a crime, and they failed in that, and then it was made right.
Amen. Ted, let me hit, hurry up.
In the 1600s, there was a deviation from God's law.
Roger, come on in, then Reggie. Go ahead, Rod.
Well, here's my question. I'm a pastor. Government comes and tells me I want to close you down. I say, you have no authority to close me down. They say, well, yes, we do. Is our next step armed conflict?
Well, and they don't have authority to do it. Because authority only comes from the Bible and our God.
No.
And that's the word. In fact, it's regrettable.
Ted, I'm past that. I'm past that they don't have authority. What I'm telling you is they say close. I'm the pastor. I say no. We're past the authority argument. Is the next step armed conflict?
Well, yeah, good question, Roger. What's the next move, Ted?
Something like that, I think, has to be decided for each person, each pastor in their church and where they believe we're at right now. Right now, I would say, you know, we need to be in the battle. We haven't even done well in the battle of 2 Corinthians 10:3-6 yet. And that is taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And one of the problems is this area we're talking about. We have got to take captive our thoughts concerning government and God's law as it applies to the Constitution.
Ted, I'm back to my question. They come to shut the church down. We're past who has authority. Is it now biblical for armed conflict? Because we're not talking anymore. They're coming to close the church down. You say they don't have authority to close it down. Then what is the next step? Is it defiance and conflict?
Again,
he's not trying to incite you into violence.
Not at all. Not at all. I just want to know, what is the next step? Is it more talking, why they put handcuffs on you? Is it Apostle Paul going to the prison and writing most of the Bible in prison? What is the next step?
Well, again, I think that, you know, every pastor and every Christian has to make those kinds of decisions on their own, whether they believe they're being faced with a situation where that's their only alternative. I think as a whole that we've got a lot of work to do before we go to that state. Lord willing, we never have to.
Let me jump
right
in.
Right now, God is judging this nation, and he's bringing this nation down on his own. I'm not going to make that call for you. You got to make that call for yourself.
Let me get Reggie in here real quick. Let me get Reggie in. Come on in, Reg.
Thank you, Coach. Back in the early mid 1990s, I read a book called Americanism and the Anti-Christian Conspiracy. It was written by a European priest, and what he was doing was he was studying Adam Weishaupt and the construction of. So going back to your whole constitution, he depicts and takes it apart and explains that it was based on the principles of duality of masonry. So it's order out of chaos. It doesn't matter if it's ambiguous. So it can be taken either or. So we can actually use it to our benefit, but that is how it was.
But Reggie, we cannot do this if our pastors continue to swear allegiance to Rome over allegiance to God. And that's it, isn't it, Ted?
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it, isn't it, Ted? Isn't that really what we've been taught to do?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's really the bottom line is, you know, who's our sovereign? Is it we the people? We the people is a God, you know, and I deal with that in the preamble of the book. The third chapter deals with, and I'd suggest that maybe people, as far as the Constitution itself, I lay the groundwork of God's law and his kingdom already in existence today, and that's where we've got to go to find the answers. But chapter three, I deal with the preamble and then every article and amendment thereafter. And in chapter three, I established that Yahweh is not the God of this nation, but we the people is. And that's exactly what the founding fathers in the 18th centuries intended it to be.
Let me wrap this up here, okay? I only got a minute. So what Ted Weiland is saying is that the Constitution said, Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a Christian denomination, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Then we would, free exercise of the Christian religion, then we would have been a little bit more towards where you're heading, right, Ted? And because we didn't do that, we opened it up to the secular assault that we now see. Yes or no?
Overlooking all of the other sundry of problems found in the Constitution, that would have been a big step in the right direction, you bet.
Amen, folks. Ted, we're out of time. I got to tell you something. I never dreamed the reaction would be like this. We'll have to have you on again. Folks, we open eyes here. That's what we do. We open eyes. And as we move forward from here, as we want to try to restore this great American country, whatever that means, we can't make the same mistakes we made in the past. Ted, hang in there with us. We'll have a little dialogue after the show. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.